This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Just as the Lunar New Year dawns, a holiday in China, an entire Chinese city is on travel lockdown. The city of Wuhan not allowing people in or out after a new strain of the flu-like coronavirus kills 17 people and sickens over 500 there. Here in the States, Washington state officials say at least 16 people had close contact with the first U.S. resident with a confirmed diagnosis of that disease. Here's Snohomish Acting Health Director Dr. Chris Spears.
The risk to the general public remains low, and the public health system and our healthcare partners are working swiftly.
House Democrats will resume opening statements in the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump starting at 1 p.m. Eastern today. Meanwhile, Nielsen says 11 million people watched Tuesday's opening day of the trial on TV. And this is USA Radio News.
130 million Americans made resolutions for 2020, with more than half focused on health. But most resolutions are broken by February. To help you start down the path toward better health outcomes, Ancestry Health is delivering actionable insights for you and your family. Marjan Champagne, Ancestry spokesperson and board-certified and licensed genetic counselor.
Through a supportive, actionable, and affordable experience, Ancestry Health includes access to educational information, genetic counseling resources, printable consumer and physician-ready reports, and a family health history tool so you can take proactive steps with your healthcare provider to address potential health risks identified in your genes and family health history.
Why is the time right for Ancestry Health?
Your genes don't need to be your destiny. Understanding your familial and inherited health risks can help you take action to improve your chances of better health now and in the future.
Start down the path toward better health with Ancestry.com/health.
An air tanker crash in Australia, leaving three U.S. firefighters dead. That large C-130 Hercules went down early today in a rural area of New South Wales. There's no indication yet of what caused that crash. Some veterans groups are taking issue with President Trump's characterizations about the extent of injuries suffered by U.S. troops in an Iranian missile attack on some bases in Iraq earlier this month.
I heard that they had headaches and a couple of other things, but I would say, and I can report, it is not very serious.
Initially, the Pentagon and the President said no Americans had been harmed, but last week, military officials confirmed 11 service members did have to be evacuated because of concussions. Several others may have also been injured. The head of the Disabled American Veterans saying that the Commander-in-Chief is, quote, out of touch regarding the seriousness of those injuries. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
The search is on for suspects involved in a downtown shooting in Seattle that left one person dead and seven people injured. It happened last night near the famed Pike Place Market after a number of people got into some sort of an argument that led to shots being fired. One woman is confirmed dead. A 9-year-old boy in serious condition and four other victims are listed in stable. The one person is still in critical condition. Another was treated and released after the incident. The doomsday clock is now 100 seconds to midnight, the closest it's been to the apocalypse since 1953, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists making the announcement this morning in Washington. They say the nuclear and climate worries are the reason that they're moving it 20 seconds closer to doomsday this year. The clock had been at 2 minutes to midnight the previous 2 years running. The doomsday clock started in 1947. On a lighter note, what's your favorite dessert?
A big slice of pie.
Well, this day is for you then because it's National Pie Day. Yeah, the event began in the mid-1970s when a man who was a nuclear engineer as well as a brewer and a teacher in Boulder, Colorado, declared his birthday, January 23rd, to be National Pi Day. And it's been sponsored by the American Pi Council since 1986. Not to be confused with the mathematical Pi Day, that's March 24th. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris.
I took my family on a vacation like the one you're about to hear about, and we had an amazing time. And the best part about it was the price.
If you're looking for an amazing, fun-filled vacation for you and your family for an unbelievable price, keep listening for details on how you can get a fabulous four-day vacation for just $99. Westgate Resorts has been a leader in affordable vacation plans since 1982, and now you can choose from over 10 beautiful resort destinations across the United States, like Orlando, Florida, or the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. So whether you love world-famous theme parks or the tranquility of nature, Westgate Resorts has your next dream vacation. Plus, if you're one of the first 100 to call, we'll tell you about our $29 Las Vegas special. Call right now to book your amazing vacation for only $99.
800-883-1612. 800-883-1612. Call 800-883-1612.
This advertisement is being used for the purpose of soliciting sales of a timeshare plan. Restrictions apply. Go to westgateterms.com for complete offer terms.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Gil Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Live from Las Vegas, Nevada. We are at the SHOT Show 2020 at the Sands Expo Center. The SHOT Show stands for Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade SHOT Show. And it is unbelievable. If you can imagine just how massive a demonstration this is. Something like almost 11 football fields of space, 13 acres. They say if you were to stop at each one of the booths throughout the demonstration here, you know, like I said, 13 acres of showcased product here and ideas and education, you can only spend about 22 seconds. That's how massive it is. So it's really an honor and a pleasure to be invited to be here and to meet a lot of new people. Well, Tom Satterley joins us now. He serves in he served in the Army for 25 years, author of the new book, All Secure, a Special Operations Soldier's Fight to Survive on the Battlefield and the Home Front. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Bill, and good luck out there.
Man, this is unreal. Have you ever been here?
My wife, I've been there for the last 4 or 5 years. My wife and I went last year, and it was crazy every year.
This is like shock and awe.
I'm
like, I could not believe this. And, a friend and associate has been, hounding me. Bill, you got to do this. You got to do this. You know, you got to come here and go on Radio Row. And so here we are. And this is unbelievable. So I think my wife already has her bags packed for next year. So we're coming back. So it is quite the experience. But, like you say, on anything that has to do with, hunting and guns and safety and preparation and all that sort of thing. Because I thought for sure, you were going to say, yeah, I'm just down the hallway. I'm saying, get down here. Let's do this face-to-face,
I would have, but this year's my wife had surgery, so I'm nursing her. So the only reason we missed it this year.
Well, next year, you're here, buddy, so we'll be together and we'll be face-to-face, and we got to have you here in the booth on Radio Row, okay?
We'll be there.
Well, a little bit more background. Tom is a senior non-commissioned officer of Delta Force, the most elite and secretive special operations unit in the U.S. military. Command Sergeant Major, fought some of the country's most fearsome enemies. Tom, why the book, All Secure?
In short, the book is to help anyone in need, whether it's a general, a private, a CEO, or somebody that works in the mail room. It's a story that tells everybody that failure is going to happen, and you just have to get back up and keep going, and that no matter how low life gets, there's always a way out, never to give up.
And Tom, you're real about what you experience. You cannot be in a battle zone and come out the same as you went in. And you're really honest and raw about this.
I had to dig deep to get that out there. What we wanted to do was we wanted to be first on the dance floor and knowing that others would follow, but we wanted to be real and authentic. And I didn't want to write the book about the war story. Those are to get you to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But the book is really about healing and hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the conversation has been a long time coming. I mean, so much so, I got to tell you, Tom, I wonder, you know, what our American patriots and soldiers went through before, you know, this has opened up. And I know it's been a little bit of a challenge for some of the traditional military people, but this has been a long time coming.
And it has, and it really is a story of our culture. People miss combat, they miss the camaraderie, they miss the tribe, because we have a culture that's not ingrained in tribe. We're individualists working together at some point, but we're really kind of all alone in our lives, and so people miss it so bad that they struggle with it for years until they reintegrate back into society.
Mm-hmm. And it takes varying amounts of time. It's nothing you know that's really set or totally scientific. I mean, when you're dealing with PTSD and you're dealing with, you know, coming back out of a combat zone, this is dynamic. It can vary from one person to the next in terms of the process that they must go through, but they must go through the process nonetheless, right?
It is certainly a testament to how different we are as human beings. Each of us can handle a certain amount of stress. Each of us crack at a different level, and each of us recover quick differently than each other. So, you know, it's a very difficult thing to determine. So when people say, oh, you're faking or you're real, or they you don't really know. You have to treat them all as real anyway, because your hopes is that you never want to miss the one that really needed the help. You know,
exactly.
You know, the suicide thing, it just keeps us up at night, mm-hmm. wondering if you missed a phone call or could have said something differently. So it's a constant struggle to keep in contact and in touch with other human beings.
Well, we're still talking 22 soldiers a day, right? A day.
And those numbers were probably low when they did it. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking more and more active duty military are taking their own lives as well. So the numbers grow, and it's hard to determine why, if it's the horrors of war or the reintegration issues, but most of it is family issues and alcohol or drugs, so that's why our foundation tends to lean towards the family reintegration and talk about PTSD and the triggers and effects of it.
Mm-hmm. What is it that America has missed in terms of the whole conversation about PTSD? If you could download, you know, something into the psyches of all Americans, what would that be regarding PTSD?
That would be that it's biological. It's biological in the sense that your body changes and goes through changes. It's not a mental disorder to where people think, what's wrong with me? I can't fix this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as bad as a bleeding vessel in your body or a broken arm. You just can't see it, so it's difficult for people to understand, but people want to reintegrate. People want to feel connected. And when you go through the military and you go into combat, that is the biggest connection you'll ever have with people to your left and right.
Exactly.
You'll never have a bigger one. So when you leave that and you're in the civilian world, even though you're not in threat anymore, you miss the camaraderie. You miss the tribe and the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys say, I'm so sick of humans, I'm going to pack up and move to Montana, you know, and I'm going to live on a mountaintop where no one's around, yet they still have their problems. They're just alone again.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, in the conversations I've had with psychologists about this issue, and it seems to make a little bit sense for me, Tom, and that is, I mean, we all kind of wire our minds and our brains for whatever. I mean, you can be the CEO of a company, and your brain becomes wired, you know, for that organization, how to keep it working, the people that you work with, as you say, camaraderie, networking associates that you will develop, and your brain gets wired. And my thought is, you know, when you go to combat,
Exactly.
Your brain is getting rewired. You know, that's not the way you grew up, but now you find yourself in a combat situation relying, as you say, to that person on the right and left when, you know, decisions for life and death are decided in seconds. You know, it's pretty incredible. So, you know, I got to think that there just has to just be, you know, you talk about the transitioning from military to civilian life, but you've got to deal with the same thing, I would think, mentally as well, would you not?
Yes, sir. We absolutely talk that we don't do therapy. We do retraining.
Yeah.
We do muscle memory again because it took you that long to get there. Everything you do builds a pathway in your brain. So that muscle memory of negativity, that muscle memory of acting out and lashing out with anger and hatred, that saves you in combat, and you're very good at it. But now you're back home, and the kids just drop the dishes in the sink and walk out.
Exactly. We've got to go to break. We've got more from Tom Satterley after this.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate, fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug outhouse that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Every single day,
promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
You are the air I breathe.
Let me tell you, on your behalf, ladies and gentlemen, we pursue that truth no matter where it leads. We are fresh and independent. At 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Tom Satterly continues with us, a senior non-commissioned officer of the Delta Force, the most elite and secretive special operations unit in the U.S. military, a command sergeant major. He fought some of the country's most fearsome enemies. Tom, before we pick it up where we left off, I just wanted to get your read. I mean, certainly, you know, we have probably less than 1% of our population it goes into the military. And even then, a percentage of those will actually see combat. And though it has been very challenging, all that they've gone through, we talked about the rewiring of their mindset in order to survive a combat zone, and probably in some cases, you know, maybe they have this sense of luck that that bullet or that bomb, that IED just missed them. But they have gone through an incredible amount of experience that can really help us understand, because at the basis of our country in this democratic republic, in order for us to maintain our freedom, we understand that that freedom has to be defended. And if that includes, you know, if that includes guns and tactical considerations, well, then there's something that can be shared from what you've learned on the battlefield. And not that we're necessarily in the same battlefield position, but there are some principles, I believe, that are appropriate today, are they not?
Absolutely. There's, you know, and you talk about the effect on it. We don't even talk about moral injuries. The things that we do legally and we've been trained to do, and then you consider it later. You consider what happens later. Not even talking about the rewiring of your brain, but just the moral injury to your beliefs that you've gone through. And people struggle with that. But working on rewiring your brain, it's just as easy as it was to get trained. And I laugh at that because we went on through so much training to get where we were, but those are the people that should understand it the most, that you can be trained to do almost anything, and so take that focus and turn it inward and work on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And Tom, I would say, a couple of weeks ago we had a chance to see the premiere of 1970 that's getting a lot of notoriety. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see that movie or not, but my thought is, I was sitting there in the movie and it was there were a lot of people there, and I'm thinking, gosh, if somebody was dealing with any level of PTSD, this would be a very difficult movie for them to see.
Certain movies I can't watch. I couldn't watch Black Hawk Down more than the first time when I saw it with my friends. All the D-Day invasion scenes and movies that you see, and other certain movies I've either walked out or I've chosen not to go. It brings back too much emotion in me now. It's not anger as much as overwhelming emotion.
Mm-hmm. So, if you can, I mean, you've been here at the SHOT Show before, you've seen what's on demonstration, and also, I mean, to me, what I so appreciate is the diversity and the breadth of patriots that are here. I mean, some people, you know, if you listen to some media tales of, gun owners and what they're all about, I mean, all they need to do is experience a display, not only of the services and goods here, but of the patriots and the people that are here. I mean, it's that in itself is an education, right?
Yes, if you think about it, fear-mongering is all around the world, and we dehumanize the enemy in order to make our jobs easier. So even politically, if we do that, even in the United States, about things we don't agree with, we fear what we don't understand. If we don't understand weapons and guns or violence, then we just attack it blindly, and we attack everybody in it, and we wrap them all up under one blanket. You know, all the while we're preaching against something else that is similar to what we're doing ourselves.
Exactly.
So when people hold a value close to them, they'll certainly attack it without thinking of other people, and that's not what you could do in a society like this. You have to understand everyone's rights and the reason for those rights, and understand the why behind everything that you do. And I don't think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people just regurgitate the fear and anger that they hear from someone else who might be a better speaker, and then they perpetuate that.
Exactly. Well, you know, why would our founding fathers give us the Second Amendment right? I mean, instinctively, having gone through and experienced what they had experienced, yes, the focus was a treasonous government, but along with it, it was much more than just a treasonous government, and that is a defined right that we all have, you know, the right for life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, which includes the defense of said rights and liberties, right?
Absolutely, and always does. And they lived in a survival kind of world situation back then, so they understood it. People have forgotten nowadays, growing up behind their big ivory walls and their fences, and they've been protected. They forget we need to protect ourselves. And oh, by the way, from our own government and from any large organization that might try to overthrow our own country from within.
Exactly.
So rights have been given to us for a reason, and we use fear to try to take them away.
And interesting, and ironically, that it is the same government, the same officials, that still have bodyguards and high fences and secured gates, right?
They certainly want them to have weapons and guns.
It is so rich with irony. But fortunately, we can be grateful for reasonable Americans that take their constitutional rights seriously, and they're willing to defend it. And they're also, what I am impressed with is they're very responsible. This is one thing I appreciate about gun owners. Highly responsible, as you said. There's moral issues when you're in a battlefield. There's moral issues here in a domestic context when you are, carrying a weapon, and if it comes to that point where you have to defend yourself, you don't do it without conscience. I mean, you know there's moral obligation and responsibilities that once you pull the trigger, whatever goes down range, you own.
Exactly, and they want to pass laws based on criminal activity, not responsible activity. You know, all these gun deaths here, someone shot somebody here. There are accidents that happen, and I think training is very important. I don't think you should just hand guns to anybody. I think people should responsibly have and handle weapons and understand them. But they try to pass laws based off of what the criminals are doing with their weapons, and I don't think the criminals are going to follow laws anyway.
It's been proven time and again they don't. That's why when they decide to go after an area, a majority of the times they will pick a soft target, especially those areas that are declared as gun safe zones. I mean, that's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? Having a gun safe zone.
That's like putting a sign out in your front yard saying, "I don't have an alarm or a gun, and I don't lock my door." Just saying. I mean, that's you're marketing the fact that no one here can defend themselves.
Well, Tom Satterley has been our guest. He served in the Army 25 years as a senior non-commissioned officer of Delta Force, the most elite and secretive special operations unit in the U.S. military. He was a command sergeant major, fought some of the country's most fearsome enemies. Tom, I could spend hours, days with you, just talking story, as they say, and, getting to the heart. And I really appreciate your compassion and what you're doing, personally and how you're helping others. How can people come alongside your efforts and support you?
Yeah, they can check out allsecurefoundation.org. There's a lot of resources on there and ways to reach out and offer help or financial assistance, or just people in need can also go there and get help. We run retreats all year long for couples in need. And we talk about PTS, and any way that anybody can help, I encourage them to reach out and offer up their services if they have any and want to.
Well, just so you know, another reason why Tom is especially sensitive to movies like Black Hawk Down was because He is the highly decorated combat veteran who was portrayed in that Oscar-winning 2000 film, Black Hawk Down. Tom Satterley, thank you very much. Thank you so much, first of all, for your service and your continued fight for freedom on behalf of we the people. All the best to you.
Thank you, Bill, and enjoy the Shot Show.
You got it. Will do. And we're going to have his book, All Secure, linked at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. We're coming on 29 after the top of the hour.
Attention timeshare owners. Are high maintenance fees driving you crazy? Well, how would you like to rent or even sell your timeshare and eliminate your maintenance fees? Now you can by making one quick call to Timeshares by Owner, a national company with an A+ BBB rating that specializes in helping consumers sell or rent their timeshares. And if you call right now, we'll give you a free timeshare market evaluation and explain to you our exclusive double your money back guarantee. Now you don't need to be wasting money on a timeshare you don't always use. You can rent or even sell it. Call right now and get your free market report and learn about our industry-leading double your money back guarantee. Learn your options now on how to sell or rent your timeshare and eliminate most of the cost and headaches. Call now. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Just as the Lunar New Year dawns, a holiday in China, an entire Chinese city is on travel lockdown. The city of Wuhan not allowing people in or out after a new strain of the flu-like coronavirus kills 17 people and sickens over 500 there. Here in the States, Washington state officials say at least 16 people had close contact with the first U.S. resident with a confirmed diagnosis of that disease. Here's Snohomish Acting Health Director Dr. Chris Spears.
The risk to the general public remains low, and the public health system and our healthcare partners are working swiftly.
House Democrats will resume opening statements in the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump starting at 1 p.m. Eastern today. Meanwhile, Nielsen says 11 million people watched Tuesday's opening day of the trial on TV. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
I'm going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, I want to go. Oh, I want to go home.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, and boy, at every turn, we hear more and more about homelessness in America. And I got to tell you, I was born and raised in California. It's heartbreaking to realize the thousands of people. And I have been noticing in the last particularly 5 years, whenever I go through, because I'm based in Florida now, as you may know, and four of my boys are still in California. So I come to California about every 6 to 8 weeks, but have witnessed the ongoing increase of homelessness. Even as you drive the freeway network of Los Angeles and you see on the pathways over the freeways, tents set up, and it's just heartbreaking to see what what's happening in our country. Michael Fisher is joining us, and Michael is a community advocate and president of New York Central Park South Civic Association. And Michael, it's a pleasure to have you with us to address this issue, because this is something that cannot be ignored. I mean, we've been seeing what's going on in, you know, California and other communities, even there in New York, that you've been experiencing, and it's like this is getting out of hand, and the government is way slow to respond here.
Well, it's a national problem, and you know, you talk about California and having, and you're from California. I mean, what's happening out there in San Francisco, Los Angeles is a complete disaster. This shouldn't be happening, and the politicians out there just don't want to get involved. You know, their feeling is if people want to live on the streets, that's a human right. And you know, most of the people that live on the streets, whether it's California or New York or Seattle or any of the other major cities, these are people who have mental issues, and they need rehabilitation. They're mentally ill, and basically all the politicians in the major cities just turn their heads. They're looking at it like these people want to be on the streets, versus the fact that there's actual mental problems that are there that need to be treated. And what the what we should be doing in like New York City, where Mayor de Blasio is spending $1 billion on 90 shelters in the most expensive areas of the city, where it costs approximately $4,000 or $5,000 per month per person, and these people don't get any kind of rehabilitation. And quite frankly, the people that need the rehabilitation, the ones that are mentally ill living on the street, these people don't even want to go into the shelters.
Right.
So the shelters basically don't do anything, and you know, for the people that are on the streets, and it continues to get worse and worse and worse.
Michael, break it down for us. Help us understand where we are in terms of you know, the situation. We know that as you cited, that mental illness comes into play. How many are just because of poor housing availability, they just cannot find a place. Some have just lost a job. We experience more of this heartbreak and devastation because of what the economy, you know, what we went through with the economy in the previous 8 years. But things are, you know, things since then are getting better. But meanwhile, it's like now that we maybe, you know, some of us have gotten our lives up, we're kind of sticking our head up and realizing, okay, we're okay, but boy, the neighbor that used to live next to us isn't okay. And in some cases, it's not a mental deal. It's just economic, economic realities. So how would you break that down of the homelessness today that we're dealing with? How much is mental? How much is just incidental?
Yeah, I would, you know, from what I can see and from the experts that I've spoken to, you're looking at 70-80% of the people that are actually living on the streets full-time. These are mentally ill people. They need help. I mean, if you break that down, you have a lot of people that are on drugs. I mean, California, right, good example. You see needles all over the place. You see them in New York, too. And, you know, you have people that maybe they're alcoholics. And you also have people that just need to be medicated, and that are on the streets. They need to be medicated. They need help, and they're just not getting the help. And so what the cities should be doing, what the government should be doing, and I think hand in hand with the federal government. I think it's a state and federal government issue, because it is a national crisis, and unfortunately the cities just, for whatever reason, don't want to do anything about it. And if they don't do anything about it, it's going to continue to grow on the streets. So you get the federal government involved. And I think that what they need to do is they need to open up special facilities that are going to treat people that are mentally ill. And mentally ill, you know, is a long definition of what's mentally ill, you know.
Exactly. Well, you run the entire spectrum there, as you say, even with drug addiction and all these other influencers that come into play. Now, you know, and I mentioned, you know, early on too, Michael, that maybe we're counting too much on the government. You and I grew up in a time when, this was a community issue. And when they can deal with it at a community level and there's support by the government, not necessarily that they're leading the way, I think we can be a lot more effective, don't you?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I think the problem's just gotten way out of hand, and I think you need government help. I don't think that, you know, I mean, the churches can certainly help, and people can certainly volunteer their services, but at the end of the day, you need government to step in and help. The problem is that the people that are in government is really the issue, and these are people that simply just don't understand what the homeless crisis is, the people that are on the streets, what the issues are, and what needs to be done to correct it. Mm-hmm. And they just, they, for example, you know, going back to Mayor de Blasio, I mean, he writes out a $1 billion check for these, you know, expensive buildings in the most expensive areas of the city, yet what he doesn't realize is he's not actually helping the people that are actually, that are mentally on the streets. What he's doing with those facilities is he's transferring people from one homeless shelter to another. He's also using those buildings to house people who get early release out of prison. So he's really not addressing the actual problems on the streets itself. And until the politicians address those issues, the problem's going to get worse and worse. And the politicians don't like to address the issue with the homeless crisis because it takes too long to resolve. I mean, if you look at Mayor de Blasio or if you look at the mayors on the West Coast, what happens is they get in office and they want to spend their time with programs where they can get quick results and make themselves look good.
And get quick credit and all that good stuff. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what they're doing. So they completely just ignore and backdoor this entire issue. And it's just getting worse and worse, and it's being ignored.
Well, Michael, I guess for me and my perspective, and hopefully, you know, I'm encouraging you and other community advocates because I see the answer, you know, I'm agreeing with you, and what I'm seeing is the answer coming, yes, support from, you know, federal government, but you know, we have to give place and a stronger presence for community advocates like yourself who know the reality. Yes. And that, you know, $1 billion in your hands could be, you know, I think better targeted than in the hands of a politician looking for...
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
I mean, if I can tell you right now that if the governor for New York or California or any of the other states came to me and said, help us to resolve the problem, I would definitely be able to do it a lot less costly and get it and actually get it done. You know, and I'm not saying fix it 100%, but get a lot of people off the street,
yes.
Help these people, get them rehabilitated, get them into job training programs, get them into a job, and then get them into affordable housing, and then let them get on their own and live their lives.
There has to be a pathway, Michael. I agree with you. And without a pathway, then they're just left languishing. And I know that in some local communities, you know, where I live in Florida, you know, I visited a facility here a couple of weeks ago, and I was encouraged because I saw that they had set up a pathway so that they could move the homeless, you know, through a process like all of us. I mean, we all want a career path. We want to know what are we working hard for? What are we trying to attain here? And like you say, there's some people that, you know, we're not going to be able to help. I accept that. But for all the other people that we can help and do something about this specific issue in our communities, you know, this is absolutely key. We've got to go to break, and I want to continue this conversation with you. He's a community advocate and president of New York Central Park South Civic Association, Michael Fisher, and we're talking about homelessness and how it's getting worse and what we can do about it. And again, I believe, you know, from a holistic standpoint, we need to get all hands on deck to address this issue because it's only getting worse.
Fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I'm going to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Michael Fisher continues with us, community advocate and president of New York Central Park South Civic Association. Michael, as we've been discussing about homelessness, and you know, right now we've got a lot of disparate ideas, and the opportunity that we have here is how can we focus these ideas? I mean, because it's getting to the point that, you know, big tech is saying, hey, look, we can do something about it. But, you know, and interestingly enough, particularly with Microsoft, I think about, you know, some of these billionaires who decided to associate themselves with Bill and Melanie Gates because they had already kind of, in a sense, invented the wheel, and there was no need to reinvent it. And let's go ahead and put our funds to help other, you know, countries and less fortunate, and let them run their foundation and distribute their monies here. Are we missing something, you know, again, in trying to reinvent the wheel with big tech, you know, wanting to help out? I say, hey, that's good news, but let's take a look at the process to where we could be more effective. What do you say?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I think you're speaking about Amazon and Amazon wanting to create shelters in Seattle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my feeling about that is very simple. It's still not addressing the problem on the streets, which are the mentally ill. Mm-hmm. It's addressing people that need housing, you know, temporary housing overnight. But I think that companies like Amazon should stick with what they do best, and that's job creation. Why not create jobs to help people that are homeless that need jobs?
Yes.
You know, the ones that maybe aren't mentally ill can go right through training programs and then get a job, you know, with Amazon. I would love to see that. I would love to see those that are right now having a difficult time, mentally ill, need help. Those folks get help, and then Amazon offers a training program to help these people and get them into work and maybe get them into affordable housing, maybe that they're funding. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think that would be great. But as far as just creating a temporary shelters, and I don't know if that does the trick. I don't think it does a job at all to help people out whatsoever. I think that's just a public relations job done by them to make it look like they're actually doing stuff, and they're really not. That's just my opinion.
Well, Michael, what I'm reading for you, though, no, I'm going to hold you on here for just a second, because I think, you know, I believe this opinion is worthy of inspection and a deeper dive here, because again, you know, I think Americans, you know, as a rule, we're a very, you know, giving and supporting people. I mean, there's national disaster comes up, we run, you know, to help people. We do that all the time, and this is not to, you know, we're grateful, and I think it's awesome that people do this, but sometimes it's easier just to write a check as opposed to, hey, let's be a little bit smarter about this. Let's take our time. Let's make sure that we're investing our money in such a way that we can expect some return. Because I know that, for example, what happened in, you know, like, for example, in Puerto Rico, I mean, a lot of money went to Puerto Rico or you know, some other, you know, countries. And most of the money went to, all the wrong people. It didn't go to the need that people in America thought it was going to, right? So I mean
absolutely. You look at New York City. I mean, the mayor is spending $1 billion to open up, you know, to open up these buildings in the most expensive areas, and the people that are making the money are the slumlords.
Yes.
And then the people that are making the money are the people that run these facilities that make millions of dollars. And the homeless people themselves don't really benefit from it. So that's a very, very good example of that, and that's happening throughout the U.S. Right, they get this money and they just write these checks, and you know, it's not being spent in the best possible way, and it's really sad. It's really sad that that happens, and that has to do with our politicians, and we need more people to speak up against how the politicians are abusing this money. I mean, to spend $5,000 a month to put somebody in a shelter, mm-hmm. I mean, that's as much money as what an entry level school teacher gets, or
exactly
joining the police force gets a year.
Right.
And we could do it for a lot less money. I mean, the mayor in New York could easily go to buildings that the city owns that they're not using. They could easily go to properties that they could build on. It would cost a lot less money. And they could do a great job in helping these people and rehabilitating them. But for whatever reason, they don't do it. And when we come to them and try to give them our advice, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear our suggestions at all. In fact, they're the first people to call you a racist if you even try to say anything. It's a pretty sad state of affairs here in California.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and this is the problem with politics and unintended consequences. And it seems like, you know, like Ronald Reagan says, closest thing to eternal life is a bureaucratic entity or a department. I mean, once it's set up, it's they're so target focused on the survival of said bureaucracy that nobody can ask the question is, hey, are you being effective? I mean, you know, we see waste in our government hand over fist. I mean, Tom Coburn, you know, the senator who used to produce the annual waste book, I think the last time he presented it to us, it was over $450 billion of duplicative waste. And this is what big government and politics brings us, sadly. And it's not to sound so cynical. It's just to say, hey, I'm frustrated like you are that we can do a lot better with the people's money.
Well, you know, I have a proposal. I think we should have a big, gigantic summit and get multiple states involved. It would be nice to be able to sit down with the different politicians, some experts, federal government, let's sit down. Let's get in a room and let's talk about it. Let's come up with some real solutions. I mean, I think we can do that.
Yes.
I really do, but I think it takes some initiative to do that. And nobody, unfortunately, the politicians, they just don't want to get involved with it. It's not a, I would say it's just not a sexy enough issue for them. They want things that are more fun that they can get immediate results from and satisfaction from, and this just doesn't provide that for them. And it's sad because you're dealing with human life. You're dealing with people on the street. I was just walking in the city today where it's 20 degrees outside, and I'm looking at the homeless that are just sleeping on the street.
I know, it's heartbreaking.
It really is heartbreaking, and they're wrapped up in blankets, and you hear the city saying, well, that's where they want to be, so there's nothing we can do about it. Well, that is not true. They don't want to be there. Most of these people aren't mentally capable to make those decisions on their own.
Right.
So you can't let them make those decisions on their own. They need a little bit of a push. They need a little bit of a helping hand to get to that next step. And for whatever reason, our government just doesn't want to do that. They lack the compassion to want to help these people, and it's very sad.
How do you help them, Michael, because you've had experience with this, help our audience understand, because that is kind of the throwaway. Well, that's what they want, so why should we bother them? So we'll just get them more blankets. Well, but to me, that just seems to be a simple answer to say that's what they really, that's what they want, is sleeping on concrete with 20 degree weather, and just give me another blanket.
And they're getting wealthy too, sitting on the streets too, apparently. That's what a lot of people seem to think. They're getting very wealthy, that they hold their hat out and they're collecting millions of dollars on the street, so that's why they're doing it. And most people just don't have a clue. So how do we do this? It starts with the government just wanting to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Putting together programs. You need to get programs in place. You need to get experts involved to put together programs in place that make sense, that economically make sense. Don't do things quickly. Do them smart, and take your time. Put them together, and then if you have these programs in place, you can help these people.
Well, exactly.
Get them off the street.
Mm-hmm.
And get them in for help. That's what you need to do. Is just have a program to get them off the street. You've got to get people off the street.
Right. Well,
you look at. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I'm just saying that you're sounding the alarm here, and we're going to be an agent, for you, whatever we can do to help make sure that you're heard, that the people are heard, that the homeless are heard. I mean, that we really understand what's going on. Instead of here it is, you mentioned San Francisco, you got human feces all over the place, and their answer is, hey, we'll just hire people to go and clean up. Wait a minute.
Well, I think when it comes to this whole crisis and everything, it's got to be a win-win for everybody. I mean, you have people that live in those communities and housing, and then people have businesses there. And people that have lived there and have businesses shouldn't have to walk out into a street full of needles on the ground and full of and watching people defecate on the street. It's
right.
Not right. It's not humanly right for people to have to live in those conditions and see it, nor is it right for people to have to actually live in those conditions, the people that are actually on the street. It's not right. In this day and age, 2020, this has got to be the year. Something's got to be done.
Without a doubt. It is an epidemic that's got out of hand. I mean, there was a report that I read recently, Michael, in Los Angeles, where there was a city official, a city worker, and she has to walk through the human feces. And I said this early on, earlier last year, as a matter of fact, probably over a year ago, I said, look, this is ripe for a plague. And they said, Bill, you're getting carried away. You're exaggerating. I'm going, wait a minute. You got rats running wild. You got an increasing number of homelessness, all that congestion and everything like that. And look at study the history of what happened with the plague, and you start seeing similarities to what's happening in these larger communities.
You're absolutely right, but you see, you're going to be called. You're going to be tagged as somebody who doesn't want the homeless living on the streets because of that, and you're going to be called a bigot for that.
Yes. No, that's
so
what I've been called.
Saying that you're concerned about the health issue.
Yeah. No, they've called me that. They called me a racist. They've called me every other name. But I said, look at the problem still continues, and until we really are ready to deal with it, I don't know. I don't know what the level is. I mean, you're talking in California alone, what, 47% of homeless homelessness in California alone is where it is right now. I don't, the number is astronomical. It's mind-boggling, Michael. But look, I appreciate you coming on the show. We got to keep this up front and center, and we'll keep fighting the good fight, okay? Whatever we can do to help out. All right? Michael Fisher on Bill Martinez Live.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.